Welcome to the David Palmer Presidential Library Podcast, aka the DPPL.
P. The DPPLP.
It's not DPPLP, it's DPPL.
Okay.
I was really hoping this wasn't going to get into the podcast.
Anyway,
we did a dry run about 3 seconds ago where we did this exact same thing, but somehow it still made it into the final cut. I don't know.
It's a sign.
It needs to be there. Anyway, I'm Chris Lorenz, and to my left is...
Robert Kitts.
And to my right...
Harrison Hoffman.
And we're here to talk about 24. Now, I've only watched the first couple seasons, and I enjoyed them, but I kind of fell off. I'm ready to be back on the wagon.
Why'd you fall off?
You know, life.
Jack Bauer wants to know why you fell off.
I don't know. You know, he didn't come to my house, intimidate me enough to watch it some more.
You weren't intimidated through the TV?
I mean, when there was a bioterrorist attack, I was kind of intimidated, and I had to, like, level down my life a little.
Okay.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, the show originally came out when I was probably, like, in middle school, like, kind of, like, early sort of middle school when the first season thing happened. So, I mean, I can see why you could be freaked out by, like, a bioweapon sort of situation, maybe.
I mean, I felt like he was taking it real serious. There wasn't enough humor, and he was just all... Go, 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 go.
You don't joke about terrorism, Chris.
Yeah, you want more of that terrorism humor? Is that what you want?
Clearly, I do. But I'm back for season 9. I got this. It's pretty good so far. You know, there's a lot of slow brewing so far.
That's true.
And Robert?
I have seen every episode of 24. I watched the first episode on a DVD during the second season, and that was my introduction to binge watching. And burned through the first season in about 6 days and been hooked ever since.
I specifically remember watching the first episode of 24 when I was living outside of Chicago, and like in my room on like one of those shitty little like TV VCR combo like 8-inch guys, and like I just remember being like really intrigued at the time about the concept of like a show that like occurs in real time, just because like that seemed like such an interesting kind of novel concept. So that was, I guess, why I originally started watching it. And I remember like watching that first episode and like being hooked. So I guess that I kind of started young on 24 and kind of watched it over the years. I guess it kind of faded in and out a little bit and sort of caught up at sort of different times. Kind of recently, I was, you know, binge watching a bit of the most recent season on Netflix until they took it off. Like a few months before the thing was going to come out, which seems like a kind of, you know, money-grabbing activity there right before the new season when everyone wants to watch it.
Yeah, do you think that was them taking it away to force you buy DVDs? Or did they're still on Amazon, so did Amazon, like, pay a premium to get them only
on
Amazon?
Yeah, I guess it could be. Was it on Amazon Instant for Prime, or was it, like, did you have to buy it?
No, I feel like
it was on Prime. I started watching season 1 again.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Amazon did a deal then, but, like, I actually went back to go and try and watch some more stuff recently, and it was just not on Netflix, so that was that was a big-time bummer.
Yeah, you gotta get the Amazon.
Gotta get the Amazon.
The AIV.
Did they sponsor this? Is that what's going on?
I don't know.
This podcast is not sponsored or endorsed by Amazon.
It's tentatively sponsored by OneDrive, right?
Is it? Yeah.
I think. I don't know.
We're revealing our identities now.
Might be hosting this on OneDrive, I feel. Anyway, so I haven't watched all of the season, so give me some slack. I don't know exactly the lore or the mythology of the whole previous seasons.
Chris, what is your favorite season you've seen?
I did enjoy season 1. Season 1 was really good. I mean, season 2 was really good, too. I enjoy the whole... I really liked Jack Bauer's daughter. She's really hot. And like, you gotta really give props to that
point.
One. Yeah,
but
she was real dumb,
the most annoying character ever. She got caught in a bear trap like 4 times that season.
Yeah, if we want to be taken seriously as a 24 podcast, shouldn't be saying we love Kim
Bauer.
Kim's
your favorite character. Yeah,
I mean, she was real dumb. She like, oh, let me go off with these random guys. Like, that. I mean, I agree. She definitely didn't. She set Jack up for like shit.
It does seem like she's matured a bit over the years. She seemed like she was not kind of super dumb the last time that she was actually in the show, too.
Yeah, she kind of had it together the last time we saw her.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got kids now, right? I mean, they said that.
Wasn't there a point where Kim was, like, working at CTU? Like, wasn't she, like, an analyst? Like, out of fucking nowhere,
what's the word for when you get a job just because who your dad is? There's a word for that.
Nepotism?
Nepotism, yes. Yeah.
Well, that was the worst example of nepotism.
The worst. So her dad being the best fuel agent of all time qualifies her to be a CTU analyst or something.
Yeah, I guess. Over there and open that socket,
I mean,
Tim.
If I saw her dad doing what he does, like, I'd probably hire her. I mean, it's just like, just so that if he, like, wants to come back, like, you're near her, right? Like, she's around. She's not like...
She's going to bring the Cougars to you.
No.
Chris, are you worried about that?
Well, I'm worried about Jack coming back and, like, fucking things up, you know, like he does.
As he will, yeah.
Okay.
Harrison, what's your favorite season?
Favorite season? See, I'm actually really bad with sort of season...
Keeping the season
numbers and keeping them kind of separate. There was that one season where, what's the kind of real sketchy president? Who was the vice president before?
Charles Logan.
Charles Logan, yeah. So the season where Charles Logan was president.
That was a great season.
Was a great season. I think that was a real, real strong season. Specifically, maybe my favorite 24 moment of all time is when Jack Bauer kind of goes rogue, puts on that mask, and attempts to hijack the president's motorcade, and Logan essentially pisses his pants inside of his limo. It's amazing. That's probably my favorite scene of the whole series.
That was a really great moment.
Yeah.
I like both seasons you said. To mix it up, I'll say season 7 is my favorite season. That was the one in Washington, D.C. when Jack's running around with Renee Walker.
Right, yeah, that was real solid,
and
yeah.
And we all had to pretend Tony come back from the dead was not ridiculous and just
yeah.
go with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, we'll see if he makes... So that's actually one of the big questions I had was whether or not Tony Almeida was going to make an appearance in season 9. We haven't seen him yet. I mean, I don't want to get too far into the episode yet, but we've not seen Tony Almeida, but I'm hopeful. I don't know. What do you think? What do you guys think?
I don't know. I feel like it's not going to happen, but it would be great if it did.
I mean, we've seen Catelyn Stark as kind of...
Catelyn Stark was a dark horse coming out as, I had it down here, Margo in this episode, Catelyn Stark.
Okay, yeah. I mean, she's the bad guy right now. I mean, he could come out, you know, as one of the people controlling her or something, but I don't know.
We'll see.
It's only episode 2, so there's probably 4 more levels of bad guys we got to get to.
Right.
I mean, yeah, they have revealed her rather early, so you're probably correct.
All right, should we jump into this week's episode and kind of see what we're working with here? We all got together tonight, us and a crew of about 15 people, kind of got together to watch this episode. We're drinking Jack and Chloe's right now, which is Rob's concoction, Coke, Jack, and a little lime. Is that?
Got to add a little sour to make it more like Chloe.
A little sour for Chloe. All right. So we're all just hanging out literally right before this, checking out the episode. So we're kind of coming in hot, fresh out of the episode here.
Hot takes.
Okay.
I mean, so it starts off with like those guys like following down the streets, and they bring out this like little stealthy like thing and shove it through the like
that little remote control car kind of thing.
Remote control car that was real loud.
Yeah.
Like clearly everyone in there knew what the hell's going on, you know.
No one in there knew what was going on. They were all sleeping, remember?
That thing was real.
So
they weren't sleeping after
so
that.
I actually wasn't really clear on what that building was that they were breaking into. It's like there seemed like to be like a bunch of homeless people kind of sleeping inside. Like, was it like some abandoned building?
I wasn't really clear on that. Yeah, I got that. It's an abandoned building that a bunch of homeless people are staying in.
And for some reason, Jack Bauer was hanging out in there.
Jack Bauer's staying under the radar, so
in his,
you go hang out with homeless people.
In his black hoodie. In his black hoodie, yeah.
I mean, it was a decent reveal. You knew what was happening.
Yeah, but Jack gets captured pretty quick, and of course that means he wanted to get captured.
Obviously, of course. What's her name? So I feel like in almost every season of 24, there is some kind of like blonde working at CTU, CIA, whatever that kind of that thing is now, who's sort of one of the main focuses. So we have Kate, who's kind of that person now, and she immediately figures out that Jack like meant to get captured because he didn't go for the roof, which is the obvious escape. Runs out the front door and gets captured. Corny. He basically runs to the beach. Has nowhere to go. So he gets captured basically immediately in this episode.
Kate was definitely pulling a whole bunch of Bauer moves during that episode.
Yeah.
Not listening to the boss of the counter-terrorists group, you know, knocking out guards to run around where you're supposed to be escorted out of the building, figuring out things that no one else is seeing.
Totally.
Maybe setting up season 10, maybe, you know.
Setting up a 10. But I mean, like, that whole, you know, her knocking out the guard thing seemed like it was just immediately forgotten and forgiven. Like, she straight knocked out and tasered that guard, and no one even mentioned it, like, after that whole thing happened.
I guess once the CIA office blew up, maybe they were like, the guy, this guard's knocked out too. Like, oh, it must have been the bomb. Like, Jack Bauer did that. And she's like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, maybe it was that.
Yeah, like halfway across the building, right?
I feel like one of my favorite parts about 24 is that, you know, you can break whatever laws and rules you want, but, like, at the end of the day, if you happen to be right about the situation, like, all is forgiven. Like, there are no repercussions for your actions as long as you are right. You can kill people, you can knock guards out, you can blow up a building, and people don't even care as long as, like, you're actually right in the situation.
Well, every once in a while you have to go on the run.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to go on the run.
But mostly you get away with it when you're right.
Yeah. I mean,
AKA agreeing with Jack.
There's no redemption for Jack Bauer.
No, there was. That was a show. That was a 24 redemption.
No, but he said that in the episode.
Oh, yeah, there's no going back for him.
There's no going back for Jack. Okay, so let's talk about the kind of CIA CTU new CTU kind of landscape here. So we got Steve Navarro, who's kind of the director, sort of heading up this thing, and he seems like a very sort of vanilla character.
So far, yeah.
So far, not really a lot of action. And you got Kate that we talked about a second ago. We have Shepard, not Shepard. Who's the guy? Not Shepard.
I feel like they never said his name, but I'm sure they did. I just
the black guy.
Yeah, the black guy who kind of looks like Martin Lawrence. I'm not being racist, but he does look a little like Martin Lawrence.
He's the mole. He's definitely. He's
we
the
might
mole.
Need to cut this out.
I
of the
think
podcast.
That I no. There's no edits. It's all one take. yeah, I think that guy's name might be Shepard. Is Shepard him or is Shepard?
Shepard was
the
general that got
guy.
Blown up in the Humvee.
That guy. That could be actually. Yeah, there was Yeah, so I wrote down Martin Lawrence looking guy is really whiny.
He was really whiny and really a jerk. He was, you know, not really having a lot of sympathy for the situation.
Yeah, he's kind of the classic antagonist to Kate. So essentially, we kind of come into the situation. Kate is kind of on her way out because her husband Adam was working for the Chinese or something crazy. That wasn't really super explained, but, like, her husband Adam is working for the Chinese, and she wasn't able to pick up on it. Kate, this field agent, so she's kind of being booted from her post in London and replaced by this Martin Lawrence fella.
So his name's Eric.
Eric, okay. Does Eric have a last name?
Eric Ritter.
Eric Ritter, okay.
Doing research on the podcast.
Doing research on the podcast.
That's there the kind of go. Professionalism you get at the David Palmer Presidential Library.
The DPPLP?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if there's a P at the end of that.
Please don't go there again.
So we have that guy, and then we have that kind of geeky sort of goatee guy who I think you kind of always have that sort of guy at CTU. You know, he's sort of like a tech analyst sort of guy.
New Chloe
slash dude who was the kind of drone pilot guy in season 8, guy who was just helping out everybody.
I mean, he's already breaking the rules.
He's already breaking the rules.
He looked up the special victims or whatever.
I mean, if I had to put my prediction hat on right now, I have a feeling that Jack is going to be able to get Kate and goatee guy probably on his side to get a little help from the inside in the CIA. Jack was already trying to pull that move a little bit later in the episode with Kate.
Yeah, Jack's working on Kate already.
Before he straight headbutted her to the ground.
that's Jack foreplay.
That's Jack foreplay,
put a damper on that relationship.
So goatee guy's name is Jordan.
Jordan, okay.
Jordan Reed.
Jordan Reed, okay. A little IMDb action.
All right, and then after Jack escapes, he lets Chloe lead her.
Well, that's
too.
The big reveal, that Chloe is in the special ops part of the CIA.
I guess we should talk.
And getting tortured pretty severely.
Yeah, she's in real bad. So you kind of come in on Chloe, sort of tied down to this table, all gothed out. Like, she's super gothed out. Like, all this black eyeliner and tattoos and all this, you know, kind of black hair and stuff. She's sort of tied down and looking like she's in really bad shape. Apparently, she's getting tortured for some reason that's kind of unknown. She's the part of some kind of WikiLeaks sort of hacker organization or something.
They clearly want you to think it's WikiLeaks without calling it WikiLeaks.
Some kind of WikiLeaks sort of situation.
Well, we don't know this at the time, though.
We didn't know at the time. We kind of found that out later, I guess, that she's sort of part of this organization. And I guess Jack got wind of it and sort of orchestrated his capture so that he can break out Chloe.
Well, he needed Chloe to lead him to that guy.
So you kind of initially think that he's just breaking her out because they're just, you know, best buds, BFFs, but that's not the case. He's trying to track down this guy. We can get to that in a second.
It happens.
Does happen.
So do we think that... Is it just a coincidence that when Jack needed to find Chloe, she'd been kidnapped? Or is there some, like, connection between Jack looking for her and her getting picked up by the CIA?
Oh, man. That's good. Well, we do know that Jack has the capability to fake these intercepts.
And pick up his own intel.
And pick up,
He's
yeah.
like, I got a bunch of intercepts about the drone strike.
Sure. So, like, I mean, he could have planted a similar thing. So, you know, we find out through sort of Kate's sleuthing that Jack had planted this intercept, which sort of led to his capture, which, by the way, she figured out in about 3 seconds. Like, presumably people have seen this intercept, and she picked it out in about 3 seconds later. She's like, hey, the timestamp on this, like, isn't kind of matched up. You know, this is bullshit, and Jack just made this thing up, which seems astounding for, like, the CIA.
Why would Jack screw up so bad like that? Like, come on.
Yeah, you think he would get the timestamp right, probably. Yeah,
well, it was good enough to fool everyone else, so...
That's true. Well, that is true.
Who doesn't look at the timestamps?
Apparently, almost everybody. And if she'd quit 1 week earlier, then she'd be gone. Nobody would have looked at the timestamp.
I mean, he escaped. It was fine. Like, didn't matter that she noticed.
Let's talk about this escape.
But first, for like 3 seconds, I want to talk about Kate packing up her office. I don't know if you really noticed, but like for the first like 40 minutes that first episode, she was putting stuff in that box. Like one single box, and like her office is not very big, but like there were at least 3 scenes of her just putting stuff in that box.
And was she just taking stuff out of the box and putting it
yeah,
back in?
Yeah, she's
kind of
taking
busy.
Stuff out, which like I don't even know what you get to take with you if you're like from your CIA office. Like, I feel like you can't really bring a lot of stuff
probably
into the
like
CIA.
Your pictures, maybe.
Maybe get some picture frames.
Maybe she bought
frames.
A bunch of British souvenirs while she was walking around, and it's like, oh, they're all at the office. Got to bring them home.
That's true. She had one of those little double-decker bus kind of things.
Oh, she
desk.
Definitely
yeah.
had one of those in the box.
Yeah.
There's a lot of conjecture on something that doesn't really matter.
You don't know it doesn't matter, Chris. Maybe
I mean,
that's
true. That box, Jack may find the box.
That box controls out. The drones.
Oh.
Maybe.
Spoiler alert. So who wants to run down the escape?
Escape was pretty solid. Jack wasn't. We were wondering before the episode if Jack was going to rack up a big kill count, but he was going pretty tame by his standards, just doing a lot of sleeper holds and stuff like that. And got Chloe, stabbed her in the heart with an adrenaline needle, I'm guessing, and then was just like, "Hey, get up, we got to go." Which I hope that never happens to me, where I'm stabbed with an adrenaline needle and then need to immediately run away somewhere.
Looks terrifying, yeah. Yeah, like he finds her and she's basically dead. She's like super unconscious and he just kind of right in the heart with that adrenaline needle.
What do you think she was being terrorized with? Like she like...
I don't know.
Is
I mean,
truth
like
truth serum or like she?
I don't
like
think
roofie?
That. It
no,
was
I think
truth
it's,
serum.
I think
I think
it's
it was,
stuff just make you feel pain.
Yeah, they have that. You know. I don't know what the drug is.
She wasn't, like, waterboarded. Like, I mean, clearly
well, maybe
she was
waterboarded
I mean,
earlier, but we didn't see
it seemed like
that.
She wasn't currently being waterboarded. Like, we saw that guy kind of put that injection in her IV there, so it seemed like that's some kind of, you know, poison to make her feel
so
pain.
So she was just, like, pass out after so much pain.
That seems like that's kind of...
I think so.
Yeah.
And then adrenaline just, like...
Yeah,
gets you right back.
By the way, Jack immediately knew where that adrenaline needle was. He goes straight for the drawer. He's like, drawer, adrenaline needle, heart.
Let's be real.
Like, all in one motion.
Jack knows about torturing people and bringing them back when they've gone too far and stuff like that.
Jack
He's kind of a pro on this.
Jack does know his way around the torture room.
I mean, Jack probably set that torture room up.
Speaking of the torture room, did anybody else find it weird that like there was that little viewing window into the torture room? Like, I feel like if you have that room, you don't have like outside windows where people can just kind of peek in and see what's going on in there.
You don't want to go peek in on the torture what's going on?
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, maybe I guess it was kind of behind that giant steel door, but I don't
converted
know.
Converted maybe into a torture room? Was it?
Oh, it wasn't originally a torture room. They had to improvise with what they
I
had.
I mean, they're not supposed to have a special interrogations unit, right? Like that's.
It was a little bit weird that Chloe called it a CIA black site later because like it seems like it's just kind of a room in that kind of known office building sort of thing. So that was a little bit weird to me because I feel like black sites are usually pretty
remote.
Off the grid sort of situation.
Well, we also had the situation where it seems like there's this super important U.S. naval base 20 minutes outside of London.
Right.
I also didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, so the kind of like unrest in context for this season seems to be like people are super upset about drone strikes. Like people are, you know, protesting drone strikes, the US's drone program, I guess, and like there's a lot of shots of people picketing and, you know.
Where is this base they keep on like have to like
bring the what?
The base?
The base. Yeah, we're not sure where the base is.
Okay.
You mean the base with the giant hangar that they had?
No,
the guy
sitting
in?
So the president's trying to keep this base.
I think it's the same base.
Is it the base 20 minutes outside of London?
Yeah.
Okay.
The base the president's trying to save is the base where the dude, quote unquote, launched a drone strike at his own people.
Right, 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 yeah.
So it's all the same base.
Okay. That I wasn't sure where they were. Like, they kept talking about the base, but they never really said where. Like, I'm assuming they did, but I missed it.
Yeah. It was also a little bit weird to me. So like this base is in the UK somewhere outside of London, and then like they're controlling the drones in Afghanistan, obviously. But it seemed like that dude, what was his name? Chris Tanner, Lieutenant Tanner, who was controlling that drone. Like, it seemed like his commanding officer was in that convoy in Afghanistan, because like I guess he was gonna have the weekend off, and then this guy in Afghanistan's like, you can't have the weekend off anymore. Like, for no reason.
And they think he droned them just because he took away his weekend off.
Should we, yeah.
Just a bit of an overreaction.
I mean, yeah. We could finish the escape, I feel.
Should we get back to the escape for a second? Okay, sorry.
I mean, we don't have to, but.
Yeah, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. We should go back to the escape. Yeah.
So, of course, Kate is the only one who figures out where to go when everything's happening and goes down to try to intercept Jack's escape. But Jack has this friend who's, Chloe said he was Serbian mafia or something. Who's helping him out from the outside?
Yes, a Serbian mob or something, yeah.
So he plugs his laptop into the CIA mainframe and just flickers with the lights and then launches a rocket into the street to blow up.
The light flickering allows Jack to give the 3 seconds he needs to just headbutt the guy behind him and kick out two guards.
Who, Martin Lawrence looking guy who just
Eric.
Okay. Who had just like previously said like, you know, oh yeah, like you used to be, you know, pretty good back in the day, and then immediately gets dropped by Jack Bauer, like, you know, not more than 30 seconds later.
That was the ultimate show of Jack's restraint in that episode, that he didn't just like wink at him when he said that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then like when the guy taps into whatever he taps into, like he sort of unlocks it with a pretty standard looking like square. It kind of looked like a square fireplace key, like almost. Like he sort of like unlocks it with that, and then just plugs an Ethernet cable right into a jack, like right in that box, and then he has full control over that whole thing.
I mean, he just turned off the lights. I don't know if he had full control.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess that's the only thing he did.
I guess that's true. I guess that.
I mean,
it could
did
have
he turn off cameras
system.
Or something? Like,
I don't think he turned off cameras. I think he just flicked the lights. That's the only thing I remember him doing.
Right. I guess he kind of messed with the cameras in that other. Were those other guys Russian? Whatever. We'll get to that later. where the drone guy was hiding.
Yeah. Oh, I kind of want to take it back a sec. Well, we saw Jack without a shirt on being interrogated by, the real CIA, not the...
It's hot.
Yeah,
is
very
that
hot.
Is that what you're saying? All right.
I think he's aged rather well.
You think Jack Bauer's aged pretty well?
Yeah.
He has like scars?
He has a lot of scars these days.
I mean, scars tell stories.
Scars tell stories.
Scars are
can't argue with that.
He spent a lot of time in, you know, Chinese prison camps and stuff like that, I think.
That's where he got most of the scars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I remember after that season.
That was part of the big reveal, start of season 6.
Wait, right, is that right. The one where he was on heroin and then
no,
that's
a different
fine
one.
6 hours
different
later?
Season. He went through his heroin withdrawals very quickly.
He did get over massive heroin withdrawal in about 8 hours, that's true.
Okay, all right. I was just checking. Okay, and then he finds Chloe, stabs her, and he gets them out on top because the guy, like, pushed down, like, the ladder. He just had this giant ladder that was, like, compressed to, like, nothing.
That was a pretty sweet ladder. I might need to get one of those ladders.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting one for my balcony out there. Like, that'd be a real good way to get
people
up
here. People
coming
over, you just
drop that ladder.
Get them come up?
I mean, if you get a rope.
You're going to launch a rocket, too, or just drop the ladder?
Probably just the ladder.
Okay.
You know, I don't think they like it when you launch the rockets in the city of Seattle.
I mean, that'd be... it'd be kind of tough for you to get one of those rockets. I don't know.
Would it?
I mean, where are you getting the permit for something like that?
Do you think you have a... Do you think that guy has a permit for that rocket launcher? That is a black market rocket launcher.
Well,
for sure.
I want to see the scene where a London Bobby is like, do you have a permit for that rocket launcher?
Well,
just
in
carrying
London,
it around.
It's cool. You can't, There's no permits for any of that. So.
It was also like a real badass grenade launcher. Like, it was like tiny.
It didn't look like a grenade launcher.
Like, when he pulled out, I thought it was going to be like a machine gun. I'm like, he's about to start mowing down people when they're running out of the building. This could be great. But it was like just like a tiny grenade launcher.
Yeah, he was pretty coy. He didn't really do much. He didn't kill anyone. There was no like, he just drove the van. That's all he did.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty key, but yeah. So then they blow this hole in the street, hop out on this retracto ladder, and just get in this van, and they're out, right?
Yeah, and then Kate gets to run into the building, even though she initiated a lockdown, which they didn't really explain how she did that.
Right, yeah, that was a little bit unclear. I do like how Kate was stripped of all of her, like, employment, you know, CIA employment stuff, and then was, like, able to institute that lockdown. Like, that goatee guy immediately trusted her to do that.
Yeah, she's like, do it on my authority. You don't have any authority. Do it anyway!
yeah, you do make a good point.
Telling
yeah.
you, season 10. Season 10.
She is. Yeah. Oh, season 10?
She's the star for season 10.
Oh, man, if she survives.
We'll get to that.
She survives.
I mean, maybe. I mean, you know.
So then, like, they're in the van for, like,
they're not in the van very long.
3 seconds.
Like, you gotta go. It's not safe. Here's a phone. Please keep it on your person. And then Chloe is still not in great shape, having just been, you know, adrenaline needled, sort of wanders out of the van. And then Serbian guy and Jack make it clear that they're tracking her to somewhere. We don't know where yet.
Right, yeah. She gets booted to the curb almost immediately. And it's kind of clear that she's up to something. And then for some reason, like, she just decides to kind of roll back to, like, her hacker HQ sort of area and just, like, lead everyone and anyone there, which seems like a really bad decision.
A real melting pot of different UK accents in there.
Yeah, they did have really good distribution of UK accents.
I mean, we find out that Jack really wanted to get to that place. That's the whole reason for this whole charade.
That was a great moment where the guy's like, he did it just so he could follow you here. And Chloe's like, no, he didn't. Jack busts
in. It is not even a second passes, yeah. I think I have that quote somewhere. He was my friend and immediately, like, busts through the door. Because Jack was thinking about asking her to just help with the situation, but thought that she would say no and couldn't risk it. He had that conversation with the Serbian mob guy in the van.
I mean, they're setting that relationship up, so.
So then they kind of have to, the Serbian mob guy or Jack and Chloe?
Jack and Chloe.
Is the Serbian mob guy important yet?
He's going to die, I think.
Oh, yeah?
He does have a whiff of a red shirt guy who's real useful, and then all of a sudden, he's just gone.
Yeah. I mean, like, once he's got, you know, Jack and Chloe tag team, and he's not, you know, he's probably not in the mix.
We'll just refer to him as the red shirt guy from now on.
Red shirt guy.
Serbian red shirt.
Serbian red shirt. So, yeah, so then they're kind of in Hacker HQ.
So it turns out Jack's looking for a particular guy who's apparently was too extreme for these hackers, and they booted him out.
Yates, right? Somebody Yates. So, you know, this kind of WikiLeaks organization was sort of only, like, finding info and sort of distributing it. But this Yates guy, it wasn't enough. Clearly
he was going
next
level.
He was going next level, well, and WikiLeaks couldn't let him in anymore.
Well, with that girlfriend there, I mean, he needed to go next level. He needed all the money. All the money.
She did look expensive.
It was pretty clear. We knew who was the daddy in that relationship.
Yeah, she, that Yates guy's girlfriend for like 90% of the episode is like impossibly dumb. And like, you know, he just for some reason trusts her completely with everything. Like, he's told her about his entire plan, like his entire drone strike hacking plan. And like the drone hack is on the news and she's like, oh, hey, was that you? He's like, yeah, it's me. And like it, like he just there's no hesitation.
I mean, you gotta brag.
I guess you gotta brag.
I guess it's part of his game.
It's part of his game. Yeah. To be bragging about your, like.
That's how he picked her up at the bar.
He's like, hey, I hack drones for a living. Yeah.
Want to come back with me?
Want to see my drone?
Something like that.
Oh,
try that one next time, Harrison.
I might have already. It doesn't work as well as you think.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, after a little while at Hacker HQ. The main guy finds out where he's at, right?
Yeah.
He finds it at the heroin,
so
his
like,
heroin den.
So,
right?
like immediately, like when this whole thing is going, it's like, you know, Jack essentially busts in with these guns and demands to find this guy who's no longer there. And, you know, now they essentially have to help Jack or else he's just going to start killing people, I guess. I'm not really sure. I assume he's that's kind of the threat. So now, like, this whole hacker WikiLeaks crew is kind of helping to track down this former member. And Chloe immediately kind of steps up into this, like, you know, director of CTU sort of persona and starts just ordering all these other hackers around.
I mean, that's just bringing back. She's just
bringing back it back, yeah, for sure.
That's just, you know, memory coming.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. It's just a reflex for her. She's in it.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I feel like that's how it works.
And so there's a bit of tension going on between Chloe and Jack because she's angry at the system that betrayed both of them. And Jack does not a believer in WikiLeaks. He thinks those confidential files need to stay confidential.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also Jack tricked her.
Jack also did trick her, that's true. But Jack, he also saved her.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on.
Jack doesn't have any friends, though, and Chloe wants a friend.
That is true.
I feel like that's the key.
But there's no going back for Jack.
So at the end of season 8, like, what was Chloe's status? Like, I feel like Chloe was still at CTU or whatever, like, at the end of season 8.
Yeah, I thought, like, she was at CTU and the CTU brain trust had agreed to help let Jack go briefly. And then they were going to be like, once he gets away, okay, now we have to hunt him down.
Yeah. That kind of like they were.
But they seem to have implied that they like railroaded Chloe and blamed her for Jack getting away or something.
Yeah, I don't know. There wasn't like a lot of context on how Chloe got from there to here 4 years later. Goffed out
a lost
information
flashback
leaker
at some point.
Oh man, that would be a whole new element into 24. Yeah. I'm not even sure how a flashback plays in a world where the events happen in real time.
You got a flashback in real time.
Fast flash. So they do the flashback and the clock comes up.
When she's getting interrogated, you know, real time, you know, visions of her sleeping, you know, could be a flashback, you know.
She recovered from that interrogation incredibly quickly. Like, she was, you know, no more than like 30 minutes after she was tied down on that table unconscious. Like, she was out in the field, like, helping Jack, like, that operation.
This is just normal 24. This is, you don't remember what happened half hour
ago.
Usually so.
Jack Bauer can recover that fast, but usually it's just him.
Yeah, well, adrenaline apparently does wonders. I don't know.
Never yeah, I don't, like, she was fine, like, almost immediately after that. I mean, like, she was stumbling a little bit out of that van, but after that, you know.
I feel she was stumbling going from the van to her hideout, but after she went back to director of CTU mode, it seemed to, like, get her re-energized.
Good to go, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Definitely.
So the head of WikiLeaks finds David Yates, and so Jack and Chloe tag team up to go hunt him down. And meanwhile, Kate figured out that all the hackers are using phones from the same shipment of stolen phones. So she starts tracking the phones that Jack and Chloe are using. She sees two phones nearby running around together. And so Jack and Chloe are headed after Yates, but Kate's headed after them.
Yeah. And then, so the reason that that Jack is trying to hunt down this Yates fella, and we kind of find out through this other sort of perspective, is because this Yates guy has developed this program or piece of hardware that can essentially remotely take control of like military drones. So like drones that can, you know, shoot missiles at whatever, like predator drones. So we kind of cut away the scene with the kid from Attack the Block / new Star Wars guy, Chris Tanner, who's kind of controlling the drone in this thing, and like, you know, some kind of situation happens. His commanding officer tells him he's getting his weekend pass revoked. Next thing he knows, his drone is being taken over control of, presumably by Yates, and it starts to move on its own. It targets his commanding officer's convoy and just blows it up. But not before he picks up the phone and calls the guy and is trying to warn him to get out of the way of this missile. And for some reason, like, this
Shepherd
will not listen. Like, they're in a war zone. He's like, you need to get away from the convoy right now. There's a missile coming at it.
What?
What?
What are you talking about?
What missile? Like, and like, and they
were
just
standing.
Is this
about your weekend pass again?
Yeah, they're just standing there. So they just won't listen to him. So he dies because he's an idiot. Shepherd dies, presumably. And So that kind of sets the stage for this whole thing. So Jack's kind of aware of this threat in some way and is trying to track down the guy who's made this program.
Yeah, and Tanner's getting framed for this drone strike. And we're not sure why yet, but they definitely seem to think like Tanner's going to be important later somehow.
Yeah, like it's not super clear on whether it was just kind of like random on like who the guy was in there, and he's kind of sucked into it now that he was just the guy who was on duty at the time, or if he was like carefully selected or something. You think he was carefully selected?
Yeah, because
who did?
He was carefully selected by Yates.
Oh, so Yates actually talked about.
There was something about info that framed him, but is there anything that Yates picked him versus just him being there at the right time?
No, Yates picked him because he said he followed their comms for like weeks to find out the right patsy.
I totally
didn't catch that at all.
Yeah. And because he went to, so I'm assuming Yates went to that military site and put all those information, like those comments that are brought up later. And like, you know, all those things said about him, you know, losing his weekend and his commanding officer not being happy with him, like makes him more a perfect patsy. And, you know, that was a line that was said.
A good catch.
Right. Yeah. So I guess that we can presume that it was Yates who had posted those comments on the message board about the commanding officer guy to make the whole frame seem more
legit,
more legit. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. It was more of an elaborate.
It was pretty elaborate, but like it does seem like, that was just kind of more of a test drive, like for the real deal, just to prove the capability of it.
I mean, for sure. But
it also proved to disrupt this whole treaty parliament sort of situation that we haven't even talked about President Heller yet. President Heller, the former Secretary of Defense from the series, is the president now. We haven't even talked about that at all.
Yeah, there's been a whole other plot line going on that we've just been kind of leaving aside for the moment.
I mean, it's kind of boring right now. I mean, let's be honest.
It's a Ronald Reagan situation.
It's like an Alzheimer's president kind of thing.
They haven't said it's Alzheimer's, but
I think you can kind of draw your conclusion.
Either that or he's becoming senile, which, I mean, it's not better.
Yeah. I was feeling some real like West Wing sort of vibes when, like, you know, the president was kind of like, you know, giving this like historical sort of lecture about Roosevelt, and then like he's kind of got this sort of condition that, like, you know, not everybody knows about, but like it might kind of interfere with his ability to be president. I was getting some real kind of West Wing sort of vibes. I don't know if you guys see that show at all, but
I see what you're saying.
Well, what is that show? I don't.
Are you familiar with the West Wing? Are you familiar with the West Wing?
I'm just joking.
So when we last saw. He wasn't President Heller at the time, and Audrey had been also kidnapped by the Chinese for a while and was in a real bad state. Like,
I totally forgot about that.
And she was she like basically in a vegetative state, or like what? How it was pretty bad though. Whatever.
Yeah,
it was.
No, it seemed like she was in some kind of vegetative state, and I mean, somebody references it in this episode. Where it's like, yeah, like they didn't think she was coming back. But like they implied that Jack had done it to her. I'm not really sure what that was about.
Well, the last scene of that season is basically Jack goes to see Audrey again, and Heller basically tells him, "This is all your fault. Go away. We don't want to see you anymore." And then next time we see Jack, he's with the children in Africa trying to rediscover his life.
Right. I forgot about the Africa bit. But yeah, and you know, so we have President Heller now. Daughter Audrey, Jack's former girlfriend, and the president's chief of staff is dating president's
because they
married
call her Mrs. Boudreaux or something.
Oh, really? Okay, so somehow romantically involved with the president's chief of staff, which makes her a very complex kind of family relationship there.
And she seems like she's better, but they're also implying she's still fragile. But it's unclear if that's true or if that's just the husband being overprotective.
Yeah, and you know. When the chief of staff kind of becomes aware of this Jack Bauer situation, like with Jack Bauer being captured, he's kind of doing everything in his power to not, you know, let the president or Audrey know, because apparently he's going to tip her over the edge if she knows that Jack's in play again.
Or maybe that she'll want to, you know, go meet him.
Just
I'm assuming she's not going to be happy with
get back on that
torturing
train.
Jack.
I don't know. Once you go Jack, you don't go back. And he knows, the chief of staff knows this.
He so does.
He's concerned on a number of levels, and he's also worried about the president getting more stress might affect his condition, and so he doesn't know how the president's going to react.
I mean, we don't know
if he finds out Jack Bauer is in London.
Yeah.
And they think in the first episode that Jack is coming to get the president, but they sort of decide that's not the case pretty quickly, and are like, oh, he's not going with the president, it's fine.
I don't know about that. I feel like, you know, 24 just has a short memory for, like, everyone in the show, except for maybe Jack Bauer. It's hard to tell what CIA is thinking at that point in time. They're just like, get the information out of Jack. Oh no, Jack's escaped. Go get him. He's here to get the president. But then, you know, they didn't really bring it up, but they're still after him. So like,
they are still after him. They still want to capture him and capture Chloe back, I guess, because they capture her for a reason.
It's actually,
I mean, they never really mentioned to go after Chloe.
Yeah, she's kind of minor. Like, I actually didn't even hear anybody at the CIA say, like, oh, Chloe went with him. It was like, Jack's in the wild. We got to get him. Like, no one even mentioned that she was gone at all.
I mean, I feel like it's like
once Jack Bauer, like, blows up your office building, that's kind of all on your mind for a little while.
I guess that makes sense.
Well, it's like the Jason Bourne situation, right? Like, you created this monster. Go get him. He can't be out there. He's free.
That's yeah. True.
Jack Bauer consistently in this episode makes everyone look like they are totally incompetent at fighting or doing anything. Like, he's just constantly just schooling everyone in sight.
It's like black belts versus 12-year-olds.
Yeah. Like, oh my god.
It's just crazy.
When Jack Bauer, this is my favorite quote of the episode, when Jack Bauer and his Serbian mob, or no, just Jack Bauer, kind of roll into the apartment of where this Yates guy is hiding with these sort of gangster guys. You know, it's kind of Jack Bauer and like three or four of these dudes, and like they're all kind of pointing their guns at him, and he kind of has one of their guys hostage, but he's not really a super important guy, and they're sort of looking at him, and Jack says, "You may think I'm at a disadvantage, I promise you I'm not," and like takes down everyone in the room. That was, oh my god.
That was real great.
That was probably my favorite scene of the night. That was,
I mean, kill of the night.
And right? we were all thinking the same thing when he's like, "You think I'm at a disadvantage, but I'm not." We're like, oh, that's right.
Yeah, because these guys haven't seen Jack.
Four on one, that's clearly not enough.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. I mean, because just...
Did you see him against that motorcade?
He's just taking out presidential motorcades. I think these, like, random, you know, thugs
drug
are...
dealers?
Yeah, which is... Although there were so many drugs in that apartment. They had, like, cabinets full of heroin. And is that heroin? Like, they had cabinets full of heroin.
It was comical how many drugs.
And they kept,
really
like,
was.
Taking them down from the shelf. But then they show them later and be, like, full. And I'm like, where did all this go from?
I don't really,
like,
know.
Happened?
I guess they were packaging up for some kind of shipment. But they had all the drugs sort of stored in this cabinet with no kind of door on the cabinet. It was just kind of...
Yeah, I mean, you're in the middle of London at that point. Where do you need to ship them to? They're just, like...
Yeah, I don't know, but they were looking to move some massive amounts of heroin. I want some more backstory on that situation.
You want a spin-off series?
I want a spin-off about this drug dealing. I can't remember the name of the guy. Bash? Basher? Yeah.
Basher. I think that
Basher,
was
Basher, who was kind of like the leader of this mob thing that was hiding Yates.
Jack kills everyone.
But he doesn't do anything. Jack kind of messed up. He didn't do the double tap on the one guy.
That's true, yeah.
And it came back to bite him. We'll get to that.
We will. And then so the Yates guy goes out of the window and he runs away, and then Jack comes after him, but the CIA comes at the same time and captures Jack but lets the Yates guy go away.
Right, yeah. So they had tracked them to the location by the SIM card sort of thing that we talked about earlier. So they kind of track Jack and Chloe's cell phones.
Chloe sneaks away. We don't know what happened to Chloe, right?
Chloe, no, we do. She picked him up in the car.
Oh, right, she did pick him up in the car.
But, like, yeah, she just kind of pieces out of the van, like, destroys all the computers and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, she saw them coming, and she ran. But didn't warn Jack.
Didn't warn Jack.
Even though they had the headsets in. I don't know,
like, that was a little bit of a weird move. But, yeah, like, he's essentially just about to capture Yates, and, you know, he's kind of with his, you know, girlfriend, who we'll talk about in a second, and they're walking away, and he's like pleading with them like to stop them, and they just won't have any of it, really. And then there's kind of this firefight that starts because he didn't double tap the guy. Yeah.
And the guy seems to shoot Jack, but then later Jack's like, whatever, it's fine, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, it looks like he kind of takes a bullet to his left shoulder, but I guess it just kind of grazed him, and it seemed all right. Not really a big issue.
He's definitely not going to be bleeding next episode. That's definitely not a thing.
He's already doesn't seem to be bleeding.
Yeah,
really.
I think it's already.
He's
already
done.
Yeah, it seems like that's.
I mean, somebody clearly noticed that he was hit.
I feel like Jack Bauer has outstanding blood clotting. Like, just in general, I feel like he recovers from those wounds pretty quickly.
I mean, he's getting older, though. I mean,
he is getting a little bit older.
He used to be good back in the day.
Back in the day, yeah.
Back in the day.
So Jack ducks into a parking garage to try to escape the CIA, and manages to get it so that he's in, like, one corner alone with Kate, and gets the drop on Kate, takes her gun away, and then tries to explain to her that he's trying to do something, she's getting in the way, and she should get with his program and start listening to him, and then headbutts her.
here, yeah. So we headbutts her. Here's what I don't understand. I guess this is kind of classic, like, Jack withholding information sort of thing. But, like, if I'm Jack in that situation, I'm like, hey, there is this guy named Yates who is made this thing that controls drones, and he's the one who shot down that drone, and, like, that just happened right now. Just, like, get all the information out so that, like, they can at least do something with it.
There wasn't enough time for that.
There, like, I mean, he had a good 5 seconds, and he could have said some of that stuff, I feel like. I don't know.
I mean, you don't know who to trust.
He was just planting the seed.
She could be the mole.
He'll talk to Kate again later.
He'll definitely make some more contact. Probably Kate and the goatee guy getting in the mix, I think. Yeah.
She could be the mole, though. I mean, a mole.
She could be a mole.
You know. Can't trust everybody.
I guess that's true. So then, you know, she kind of pulls some kind of move to try to alert people. Jack headbutts her to the floor, as you will, and then just kind of pops out of this window. Chloe picks him up in a car, and they just...
Like, immediately,
because she knows exactly where he's coming out of that building.
Pretty much.
And they escape, like, pretty easily. This I feel like this CIA unit is, like, really incompetent. Like, they were, like, 10 guys. Like, they could not control Jack at all.
Should you have, like, a perimeter when you're going after somebody like this?
No, shouldn't.
It's a 24 staple to set up a perimeter and have whoever you're trying to hold immediately escape the perimeter. So, yeah. It's par for the course, right?
Okay. I mean, if that's par for the course, I just feel like there was no perimeter. She just hotwired a car in, like, 3 seconds.
Jack seemed pretty impressed about that hotwiring a car thing. He didn't seem to see it coming.
Yeah, it was really weird because, like, when she first said that, like, she hotwired the car, like, it looked like Jack was kind of, like, disapproving for something. He's like, oh, Chloe, you're hotwiring cars or something. He's like, oh, yeah, like, great job. Like, you finally learned. Like, you've become what I've wanted you to become all along.
Good job, young Padawan.
You're learning. And then we have we go to Yates and the girlfriend at the restaurant, right?
In the bar, yeah.
Yeah, they're just chilling at the bar, which is a pretty smart move to stay down low.
I mean, yeah.
In a public bar.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, yeah, it's a little shady. I mean, I don't think it was like the Ritz or anything.
It's not like they know the people at the bar. They just ran into a random bar.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. I didn't know the relationship there.
Yeah, it seemed like they just kind of went to a random bar. Yates kind of, you know, is like, I gotta go to the bathroom because they're just, you know.
Well, the key thing is like. All the work I had to do is done now. I just need to take this box that has everything you need in it and give it to someone. Let me go to the bathroom.
Right, yeah. Well, and then, you know, he had kind of said to... Because he holds... there's no filter with him and his girlfriend. He's like, hey, you know that girl I was talking to on the phone before, Margot Catelyn Stark, was like, hey, I'm about to fuck her over because she just tried to fuck me over. Like, so I'm going to try to sell this to somebody else. You know, don't tell anyone kind of thing. Takes the box with everything in it into the bathroom with him, pops it on the sink, heads for the urinal, which I feel like this is one of the first times I've seen anybody go to the bathroom in 24. Like, no one ever goes to the bathroom in 24, but this guy does, and it's a critical error.
Yeah, never go to the bathroom in 24, that's for sure.
And so he's kind of right that Cat Stark might be keeping tabs on him, want to eliminate him, but he's wrong that Jack Bauer was sent by Cat Stark, because it turns out his Russian girlfriend, Sansa Stark, is... in cahoots with her mom, Cat Stark, and she takes him out for daring to turn on the family.
Yeah, so, you know, she, in my kill of the week, you know, stabs Yates in the temple with, like, an ice pick kind of situation, and he's just game over while he's standing at the urinal. So, like, he essentially thinks that, like, you know, they're like, she's coming in because she just wants to fuck in that bathroom. Like, they just want it, she wants to get it on in the bathroom, and that is not the case. She's just trying to kill him and walk away with that box.
I mean that's what you expect when your girlfriend comes to the bathroom.
But, like, as soon as he puts that box on the sink, you're like, you're the biggest idiot in the world.
No,
like,
you knew something was gonna happen
for sure.
That's definitely. And then she walks out, takes off her wig and eyelashes, and walks away.
Takes off the wig so easy, like, he would have for sure realized that was a wig, like, immediately.
I mean, he might have known. What does he care if it's a wig or not?
I guess that's true. But then why was she even wearing the wig?
So maybe that's
who is she hiding from?
So that she could run away when she needed to do this.
Maybe it's just part of her, like, Russian mystique. Is like, oh, you wear that funny wig. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. You know, that's what she was wearing at the bar.
Yeah. And then she's kind of on her way out, and she calls Margot Catelyn Stark and says, you know, hey, I got the goods. Like, that guy's not a problem anymore. And like, I actually got like, you know, and I'm not sure if that's actually her daughter, because like, I kind of got this like James Bond sort of vibe, because, you know, James Bond kind of calls M like mom sometimes. I mean, like, Rob, you are the resident James Bond expert, so I'm not really.
So it's like the. So I will.
I feel like that was. So I thought it might have been like an MI6 sort of situation.
I think so. I'm not an expert on this, but I think it's more of a British thing that's like when you'd say like, ma'am, maybe in the U.S. you say like mum as like a sort of a sign of respect, but he's not actually calling her mom.
Got it.
So I felt like Cat Stark was clearly saying she was Sansa's mom in that scene. That it wasn't that it was like a literal like a mother-daughter.
I mean, her name isn't Sansa.
What is her name?
I don't know.
We don't know her name yet.
Yeah, but
so she's Sansa until we learn her name.
That's where we're getting the Sansa from, because Sansa's Cat Stark's daughter. So like,
yeah. I mean, we have to have a way to refer to people, or else that guy who got stabbed in the temple's girlfriend.
I'm painting the word picture, okay? That's all I'm trying to do.
Thank you, Chris.
No problem. And meanwhile, the other story, the president with his Alzheimer's, it seems to be getting worse.
Yeah.
Well, the doctors say that it's getting worse.
Yeah, the doctors.
It's getting worse much faster.
Although he seems to remember all the important things and just messes up like random. You know, trivia things that aren't that important. Like, he knows all this information, then he forgets which, you know, how, what number of soldiers are involved and stuff.
I mean, like, it does seem like in a lot of cases he's just like a few steps slower, and yeah. Like, he doesn't strike me as being like super presidential. Just like when like you see him, like, he doesn't really strike me as being like a presidential sort of guy.
I mean, does George Bush make you think of a presidential?
I mean, like, I don't want to get into politics here, but I'm just saying that, like, you know.
He was pretty
folksy.
When
you think of the great presidents of 24, you know, your Wayne Palmers of the world,
I'd take this guy over Wayne Palmer.
Take this guy over Wayne Palmer.
I think we've seen high bars and low bars in 24 presidents.
We certainly have. But I feel like they all have kind of like an air of like president, maybe with the exception of Wayne around them.
Did Charles Logan have an air of president around him?
He was kind of like, you know.
He had an air of being in over his head, and then he had an air of being bad.
Yeah, he did have an air of being a really terrible president.
Yeah, so I feel like there's been hits and misses.
That's fair.
I mean, he seems pretty passionate about it.
But we are the David Palmer Presidential Library, so clearly we're comparing President Heller to a high standard there.
Absolutely.
Clearly. We need to.
Yeah, as you will. So, so he kind of has Alzheimer's, and, like, you know, this chief of staff guy, like, it's clear that he does not think that this guy should be president anymore. Like, he's, you know, calling him out and hassling him all the time, and like, I mean, rightly so. Like, you can't be, you know, president when you can't, you know, make real decisions and remember facts and stuff. But, so he's kind of being a dick, which kind of creates a really weird situation with Audrey, since, you know, that's obviously the president's daughter, and they're married or lovers or something, and very
sure
awkward situation.
I didn't get
well,
that
I
at
feel
all.
They called her Mrs. something that isn't Heller, so I feel like that was implying they were married. That's all I'm basing that on.
All right. Well, I mean, we'll find out more.
Yeah. So there was, I felt there was a reference to him saying something like, "Oh, I just got to get through this trip." So is the idea that he like goes to London, signs this treaty, is going to go back to the U.S. and resign because he's not fit to be president anymore? Is that what they're hinting at, or was that just like a random line?
Yeah, so I actually kind of had that question too, because he was like, just got to make it through this trip. I'm like, this doesn't seem like it's the end of his term, really. So it seems like he might just be resigning after this situation is dealt with.
There was a conversation with the daughter and the president, and then like in the back of the limo, and that's what it seemed like they were insinuating then. And then later when the chief of staff was like yelling at him, like, "Oh, you can't even remember the guy's name." The daughter was like, "Hey, you know, once we get through this trip, we're going to do something, whether that's, you know, resign, but he wants to make sure that this base stays intact is what he wants. I mean, that's like what he wants to do. Once the base is intact, I think he feels like he can resign.
Yeah. That does seem to be the situation. And I mean, in all fairness, he probably should be resigning. It seems like he's not really fit to be president at this point.
I mean, it's just an odd place to resign, right? Like, he's
right
in London for this big like vote.
But like, it seems like they're kind of acting as though like this is coming on like so fast. It's like in the last like day, like, you know, since they've been on this London trip, like, this has become a problem.
I mean, this is only a 12-hour show, and it's already like
no, I know
1 o'clock. It's what, 2 o'clock now, and the vote hasn't happened. So
right, no,
it's got to happen soon.
No. So what I'm saying is that they're kind of acting as though this Alzheimer's situation has come on very fast. And it's like, you know, whereas like last week when they were back in D.C., not a problem. You know, this week they're over in London doing this treaty, big time problem, and he's going to have to resign when they get home.
I mean, Alzheimer's onset is pretty fast.
I don't really know the details, I guess.
That doesn't really matter. This is 24. This is how they set it up. Okay. Can you deal with that?
Yeah, I can deal with that. Yeah.
Have we gone through the whole episode now?
I feel like we've gone through
the whole
episode.
That's pretty much the whole episode. What was the scene that we ended on? Like, what was this week's cliffhanger?
The cliffhanger was Sansa Stark revealing herself.
Right, Sansa Stark temple move revealing herself.
Yeah, that was the cliffhanger.
And then we kind of moved on to the little montage of sort of this season on 24, which I was a little bit disappointed that we didn't get like a specific next time on 24. It's kind of like a this season sort of thing. Did you guys kind of notice anything like interesting in that little montage there?
I saw some fire. There's lots of
fire,
some
yeah.
explosions, some drones getting taken over. Like I don't really like watching the next time on anything. Like, I want to go in fresh.
There was a lot coming at us really quickly. I think there was a scene of like Jack and Kate, you know, sort of in an embrace kind of. So I think I think they're going to get a more of a close relationship pretty quickly.
Was it Jack and Kate or like Jack and Audrey? I guess they kind of like similar
they do
hair
similar.
Coloring.
Could have been, yeah.
Maybe similar.
That's a good question. Maybe it was Audrey actually.
Could have been.
The chief of staff won't like that.
Yeah. So I guess that there were a couple things I noticed. There was one which, you know, and this only really jumps out at me because of Game of Thrones. There's one where, like, Catelyn Stark is holding a gun like a badass, like, at somebody. And, like, this thing seems so crazy because, like, you know, like, total modern day sort of thing. And then there's kind of some comment around Jack Bauer taking hostages.
And
everyone seemed
true.
Pretty
that
concerned about that.
Someone's taking hostages. Who's taking hostages? Beat Jack Bauer.
There's a lot of that kind of, you know, beat Jack Bauer stuff in this show.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, so who do you guys think, is there a mole in the season? Is there like...
There's got to be a mole. So the question is, who's the mole?
Who do you guys think the mole is?
So let's go through our candidates. So we got all the people not CTU, but we keep calling it CTU. So we got CTU boss man Steve. We've got Kate. We've got Eric, who's being a jerk. And we've got Jordan, goatee guy. Was there anyone else at CTU?
I think that's pretty much it. There's the kind of special unit guy.
Oh yeah,
in the tie.
Guy.
I don't know what his name was.
I don't know
was,
if he was important. They
we'll
seem to sort of dismiss him pretty quickly.
I mean, like, he did have a couple of lines, but yeah.
Yeah, he did. And so then there's the chief of staff guy.
Yep. Who is kind of towards the top of my list right now. That guy seems pretty sketch.
And I'm going to throw the British Prime Minister into our mole.
Oh, British Prime Minister mole.
The British Prime Minister in on it because he wants an excuse to get out of the treaty without seeming like he's a bad guy to the U.S.
What else is that guy who plays the British Prime Minister? And like, he looks super familiar.
He's like a really famous British comedian. He's been in a million things.
Got
like
it.
He was in V for Vendetta is the only thing I'm thinking of right now. He's been in a lot of things.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw my hat in with Eric on this one.
Eric?
I think he's like, you want him to see like he's not the mole, so then you don't think he's the mole, but I think he really is the mole.
I don't know, man. Like, there's definitely some weird motives going on with Eric. I don't know if he's the mole.
Eric does have the vibes, though, of season one Tony, where he seems like he's a jerk, and you think, oh, clearly he's the mole, clearly he's, like, against Jack. And then it turns out he's, like, the most loyal guy of all of them. Like, I could see Eric pulling that kind of maneuver.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, but, you know, so right now I'm just going to go with Eric.
Yeah, he just seems like a real jerk right now. My front runner is probably chief of staff guy. I don't remember his name right this second, but probably chief of staff guy.
Was his name Mark? I'll look it up.
Could have been Mark. Yeah, it's just he, you know, he clearly wants the president out, and he will stop at nothing to do that, you know.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's not the VP though. So
he's not the VP, but I mean, like, I'm not sure what his motivations are. But he's definitely acting kind of sketchy.
Yeah, he is.
And you know, he's got tight relationships with a lot of key characters. So I don't know. Like, he seems like he's a little bit sketchy.
What about the chief of staff's assistant, who seems like the guy from the Mayhem commercials?
The Mayhem
Could he
guy?
Be a mole?
Oh man, I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like we have very little info on him. He's kind of like, you know, he was kind of trying to be the voice of reason, like, hey, maybe we should tell the president that this shit's going down. And he's the guy's like, no, not at all. We shouldn't do that. So, yeah, we didn't really get to hear very much about his character.
You have like the early mole for the early.
Well, it's only 12 episodes. So maybe they'll only have one this time. Maybe.
Only 24
episodes. You definitely got to like have moles upon moles. But
yeah.
All right. So what a kill of the week. I mean, Harrison, you've already said your kill of the week.
Which definitely,
I feel like is my kill of the week as well.
I mean, it's got to be Ice Pig to the Temple.
I guess the only other candidate is Jack taking out four guys by himself in the Mexican standoff.
Right. Yeah.
But I think we're all in agreement what the kill,
yeah,
the
kill
of the week.
Kill of the week. I'm just trying to get the segment.
Trying to get locked down.
Yeah. So
all right.
And so, what do you guys think is going to happen next week? Like, I feel like this is how we should end. You know, talk about what we think is going to happen. This is what people, like, we don't know what's going to happen. We have a brief glimpse, as we've said, but.
Well, I want to see what happens next with the lieutenant, because, like, they're clearly, you know, he's under arrest, and they're putting him in a van to take him to London, I guess. So he's still important, but it's not clear, like, why he's still important. So I want to see what's going to happen with that, but I really have no idea what it's going to be.
I mean, like, it seems like he's kind of getting pulled into the situation. Like, he's going to be put in front of Parliament or something, or, like, the royal court. I don't know, like he's gonna be kind of interrogated by the British folks. I mean, he's definitely important. Like, he's like, that guy's kind of like a big time actor these days, so I feel like he's not just gonna be like in a couple episodes. I feel like if we're kind of stepping out of the world of the story, like, I feel like he's
so,
probably
so is he the mole?
I don't think that he's the mole. I don't think that he's
he seemed pretty upset about that drone thing going wrong.
He was freaking out when that happened. I mean, rightly so, but he was freaking out.
Although he was mad about his lost weekend pass. We can all agree on that.
He should have, like, unplugged that computer. I felt every time he was like, oh God, it's doing something. Like, start plugging shit. Like,
I don't think that you can just unplug that computer.
I feel like it's such a secure thing that you can't just unplug it. That it's like, yeah,
he's got to do something. Can't you stare there, stand there?
He was trying to pull the levers and push the buttons and stuff.
Yeah, what you do, you call the guy. You tell him to move.
To move. And then, like, an idiot just stand there.
He did it. That was a good, like, you know, if it's another situation, I don't know if calling the guy is going to be, I'm going to be fast enough for that.
I mean, like, you know, he was like, oh, this thing's broken, missile locked, let me pick up that phone. Like, it was pretty quick, for sure.
Yeah, but he's not helping himself unless, you know, they get that call. If they get that call, then they can exonerate him, right?
Which I feel like they should have logs of those kinds of calls somewhere. Then,
I mean,
and that they should be able to pull that up.
In contact with the NSA, I'm sure they have some sort of.
The NSA definitely has those logs, and I guarantee that they are recording all calls in and out of the drone control room. Like, someone's got that call, because, like, the implication was that, like, you know, since he wasn't able to, you know, tell that guy to move out of the way in time, that, like, that knowledge that he tried to warm is gone forever. That, like, you know, the only guy who could have saved him just died in that drone strike, which I feel like there's got to be a recording of it.
Aren't there, like, recordings of the guys in the drone room? Like, isn't there a recording of him, like, oh, God, it's not working? Like, yeah, calling the other
people? Or just like a video feed
That's
of
what
the
I'm
room.
Saying, like,
yeah, just
a
like
video
a video feed of him, like, clearly not pressing the buttons to do the things that are happening.
Yeah, I feel like it's a little far-fetched in terms of blaming this one guy when it was, like, there's lots of ways for him to be exonerated.
I guess, but I mean, like, also, you know, if that one dude has the tech skills to be able to, like, hack that drone control thing remotely, he can probably just, like, you know, speed style, like, you know, loop in, like, a, you know, camera feed sort of thing, I feel.
I guess. I mean, it seems a little much harder to, like, hack into people's security cameras.
It's not any harder than hacking into the Predator drone.
I mean, the Predator drone exists in Afghanistan and is controlled from London. The security camera is controlled by the security camera in the same base. They're like, it's not connected to the internet. It's not, like, going through,
know.
Like, satellites or anything.
I guess that's fair. I don't know.
I mean, anyway.
It seems a little far-fetched, for sure.
I mean, I'm curious to see how Jack handles this whole, oh, my God, now the dude is dead. Like, how's Jack? I mean, Jack's going to find out about that. And he's going to find the blonde girl's not blonde anymore. And, like, he's got to, like, figure out where how to find the next clue.
Yeah. You know what I'm not interested in at all is that Alzheimer's Audrey plotline. Like, that is the super boring. I mean, like it better have a really good payoff, because right now that's just, like, a total not interesting part of the story.
Are we in Wayne Palmer territory yet?
I don't know. We might be in Wayne Palmer territory.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. So if you had to rank the 24 presidents from best to worst, what are you looking at there, Rob?
I think you're putting David Palmer number one.
Obviously.
I think a good question is Charles Logan kind of great because he's so entertaining, or is he the worst because he was like a traitor to his country?
Yeah, an actual president traitor. I mean, like, I feel like I'm gonna put President Taylor second. Like, she's pretty strong president, I feel like.
Yeah, that's a solid move.
I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like Wayne Palmer just gets last place because he's just uninteresting and really just...
He was both uninteresting and incompetent.
Just didn't add a lot of value, really.
Wait, so David Palmer was a president for the first two seasons.
Sure.
Does every other season have a different president?
Not every season, but a lot of them. So there was President Keeler in season 4, and he got blown up on Air Force One. We didn't really see him much, so I feel like he goes in the middle. Like, you figure out who's good and who's bad, and he goes in between. And then season 6, when they pulled the chute on Wayne Palmer and just blew him up and never mentioned him again, they had, I don't remember what his name was anymore. Who was the guy who was the vice president came in, and he was president for half a season. And he didn't really do much either. But yeah. So I guess David Palmer 1, Taylor 2. I'm going to put Logan 3 for entertainment.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And then I guess Keeler and...
Wayne
Powers Booth and finally Wayne Palmer.
Oh man. Okay.
Is that where we wrap this up?
I mean, I feel like that's where we wrap this up. We'd love to hear in the comments what your presidential rankings are from all the seasons. So if you want to, I'm not sure where this is going to be posted. Probably maybe on iTunes, probably on Facebook. So wherever we went to go get this, let us know in the comments, you know, who you think the mole is, who you think the best presidents were in 24. And hopefully we'll see you next week.
Peace.
Later.